All right. Well, that's what we're preaching on tonight, or teaching on, kind of. We're going to have a little bit of both, but is the Bible. And so it's a very important subject in our day and time. And the problem with most pastors, and when I say that, I mean wide range of denominations and all, is they never take the time to consider. They fall into this trap of, well, I want the one that I can understand, and I want the one that I can read. But there's more to it than being able to read and understand. It's knowing that you have the Word of God. And so we're going to look at some scripture this evening. I don't know how much of this we go through. I've got 2.5 pages there, a couple pages here. And so I told you it'd probably be 2 weeks worth. And so we're going to start, though, in Genesis, the book of Genesis. And it explains us why it's very important. Genesis chapter number 3. Very important scripture. We went through this in the Bible study. Genesis chapter 3. Let's open up in a word of prayer before I forget that. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. And I pray as we take this opportunity now to teach what thus saith the Lord, Lord, not me, but what the Bible says, God, about itself and about you. I pray that you would reveal it to people. It would be a conviction to people. Lord, I don't want it to be a preference. I don't want them to do it because I say so. I want it to be as much a conviction for these people as it is for me and my family that this is the Word of God. It's not just any other book. It just doesn't contain the words of God. It is the Word of God through and through. It's exactly what you want us to have in 2019. And Lord, you've put it here for us, for learning and for growth. And I pray that people would understand that, Lord. There are some things that are hard to understand, but that doesn't mean we need to change the language. It means it needs to change us, Lord. And I pray that you would help us now tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in Genesis chapter number 3, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doeth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for fruit, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took up the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. So what we see here is, even early on in the garden, even early on here in the creation, the first thing that Satan tries to do is, goodness, is attack God's word. And so Satan is not changed any little bit. God made this note right here. He said the serpent was more subtle than any other beast, and nothing's changed in 6,000 years. The devil today is just as subtle, just as cutting and crafty today, even more so today. He even knows he's had 6,000 years now of knowledge and how to perfect and how to change the Word of God and manipulate people into using the wrong Bibles and those types of things. And so here, all he does is he questions God's Word. He questions. See, they only had one verse, one scripture that they were given, and they were not to eat of the fruit. But what happens here? Devil questions the woman and draws doubt into her mind. And so immediately, what does she do? She messes up God's word. She said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. See, he didn't say they couldn't touch it. You're told not to eat of it. And so what did he do? He just confused her. He tripped her up. I want to say right now that the problem is that there are two. When we get into it, I'm not going to help myself, but what you need to know is that all Bibles come from two different strips. There's the King James Bible comes from what's known as the Textus Receptus, and it is what the majority of manuscripts agree with. Here's what happened in history. Now, there's the Textus Receptus, which means the received text. The majority of Greek manuscripts come from that. Now, what they had, all these other versions of Bibles use the minority, but they use these ones that are supposedly older, is what they base these off of. The problem with that is just because something's older does not make it accurate. Because there were over, when they wrote the King James Bible, when it was translated, there were over 5,300 surviving manuscripts. Over 5,300 surviving manuscripts when they translated the King James Bible. 95% to 98% of them agreed. The problem is that those few that didn't agree, those are what all other modern Bibles come out of. See, we're only talking about, people think, well, it's not that bad, it's not much of a difference. But in that 5% difference between a King James Bible and every other Bible is the difference, can be the difference between life and death, because what's happened now over the years, that 5% now has grown because they've continued to cause more and more doubt to come in. And so the King James Bible, let's look at some different scriptures in here. We'll give you a background because I want you to understand, we're going to lay down a groundwork here. We're going to either have to believe God or we're going to have to believe man. Turn with me to, let's start with the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews tells us about the Word of God and what one of the things that we need to know. The reason a lot of people don't like the King James Bible is because they don't like the language of it. Why don't they like the language of it? Well, Hebrews 4 tells us why. Hebrews 4, verse number 12 and 13 says, Hebrews 12, 4, verses 12 and 13, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto his eyes, unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And so there, God has the Bible for a specific purpose. The problem with most modern Bibles is they, number one, they'll attack the deity of Jesus Christ. And we'll get into different verses and show you that. They attack the blood of Jesus Christ. And now, because they've done all that, now you've got modern Bibles that are attacking God Himself. There is a modern Bible that took out anything that speaks about God being a man or in the He form. They've made God into a unisex, I guess you'd say, or whatever the term is. They've made God, they've took out anything that refers to Him being a man. And then you've got another Bible that's come out and it takes out anything that speaks out against being gay. Now, how can you claim to be a Bible? How can you be a modern, how can you be translated correctly when your specific purpose is to attack the words? And that's exactly what they've done. They've continued to attack. But this King James Bible now has stood the test of time for 400 years. Did you know for the first 300 years that this was not referred to as a King James Bible? It was only for the first 300 years, it was only referred to as the Holy Bible. But when they translated the New Modern Version in the late 1800s and they couldn't sell it, when they translated the first Revised Standard Version, when they could not get it to sell because people would go in and say, I want a Bible. What do you want, the Holy Bible or do you want a Revised Version? Well, I want the Holy Bible. And so they couldn't sell it, and so they made them change the name of it to the King James Version. But for 300 years, it was only ever referred to as the Authorized or the Holy Bible. It's all that it was ever referred to as. But here in Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 12, it tells us the Word of God has a purpose. The reason they don't like this Bible is because it is quick. It's powerful. When you read this King James Bible, it cuts you to the heart. That's the important. That's what it's meant to do. It's meant to do that for a purpose. Turn with me to Romans chapter number 10. I missed that one. I came through there. I was trying to go through right here. Romans chapter number 10. I'm going to book the Psalms too. Romans chapter number 10. Again, I want you to see that the Word of God has a purpose. And so therefore, once we establish that it has a purpose, then we can show you why it's like this. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 17. We read this the other day, but I want to read it again. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we see that the Word of God was important because it's quick and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, but also because it's what's instrumental in salvation. The Word of God. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you're not hearing God's Word, in which most modern versions, that's what they're doing. They're taking away, they're cutting away at the deity, they're cutting away at the Word of God. And so they're trying to take Him out. And we'll show some of these things when we get on in here. I just want to establish this. Now, go with us on over now to Peter, 1 Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1 first. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 23. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And what is that incorruptible seed? By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. As all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass, the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the Word of God endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So we see there that Peter establishes there is a Word of God. It does serve a purpose. Once again, we looked at it's quick, powerful. It's what brings faith. It's also that you have to be born again. We talked about this when we went through John, early on in John. John chapter number 3, Nicodemus came to him and said, how can a man be born again? Jesus compared it to being born. Or how can a man be born again? Because Jesus told him a man has to be born again. And so Jesus referred it to that because it takes two seeds or two things, just as it does for a natural birth, it takes two things for a spiritual birth. It took the man and the woman's seed to produce a child. It takes the Word of God and the Spirit of God to produce a new birth and being born again. So what? Now we look into verse number 2 of the next chapter. So it continues thought. He says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that they may grow thereby. So it's very important. Why is the Word of God very important? Because it's what newborn babes need to be able to grow. When somebody gets saved, or even us that have been saved for a while, it's what's going to help you to grow. Somebody that does not have what is the full or true Word of God, you cannot grow. You cannot do much without it. You need the Word of God in front of you to be able to grow, because it's as newborn babes desire sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And while we're here, we can even look at that. I've got scripture for this. Let me flip over here to it. I may have done for a page. Oh, right there. 1 Peter chapter number 2. As newborn babes to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that they may grow thereby. This verse is one of the verses that's attacked in every other modern version of the Bible. The NIV says that you may grow up in your salvation. And what is that telling you? It's telling you that you're to grow in salvation, because all the others now use the same thing. They say grow up into your salvation. Grow up in your salvation. We either going to believe that you're saved and that's it, or you're going to have to believe that you grow up into your salvation. And also on top of that, with the NIV, it makes no mention. How are you supposed to know what it is? He says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. The NIV, the NET, the RSV, the ASV, all of them, to make no mention of what you're to grow thereby. It just says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk, that you may grow thereby. Well, how are you supposed to know what the milk is? They've taken that out. They took out the Word of the Word. And so there, you don't know what it is. How are you supposed to know what you're to grow up in, or to grow, what you're supposed to use to grow up, if you take out the words of the Word? It's an attack on the Word of God. Many of them say, in respect to, the NASB says, in respect to salvation. Well, we know why they use that. That's a Catholic Bible. They want you to believe that you can't earn salvation, or they want you to believe that you have to earn salvation. They don't want you to believe that you can just get salvation and that's it. They say it's to grow up into your salvation. The CSB says grow up into your salvation. All of them say may grow up in your salvation. Now, that's different. The wording is not quite what it needs to be. And that's why it's very important which one we use. Turn on over now to 2 Peter, chapter number 1. Second Peter chapter number 1, skip on down to verse number 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first. This is what I've tried to emphasize over and over again. We want you to put the Word of God above everything else. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. I've told you, if you have a disagreement, if we don't see eye to eye, please, by all means, come to me, talk to me. We'll pray about this. We'll look at it. We'll back it up. But I'm not above making a mistake. But the Word of God is. I believe this King James Bible is the preserved, inerrant Word of God, exactly what God wanted us to have. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of a man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. A lot of people say, man wrote that book. Why would man want to write this book? This thing is not gaining me anything other than knowing the truth of salvation. As far as money-wise, if you follow what the Bible says, it's not gaining me any money. Now, there are a lot of religions and denominations out there that use it to keep people in bondage and to keep them milked for money and take money away from them and all these different... I agree absolutely with that. But if you follow what Jesus' teachings are, if you follow what the Word of God says, you're not going to gain financially from it. So why would man want to write this book? Why would any man want this? Listen, if we're a bunch of animals and we're just evolved from a bunch of monkeys and that thing, why don't we just go out and live any old way we want to? We can't do that. Why? Because it's written on our hearts that we know better. We're not animals. We know better. We know that lying, even our kids, listen, even as young as Bonnie or Maggie, when you tell her you're telling a lie, they get that guilty look on their face. When they steal, they know that they're doing wrong. If we were just animals, they wouldn't have a conscience. But we have a conscience. He said, it came by the Holy Spirit. Listen, it's not men that wrote this. Here's what's happened now. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Peter said, there would be people that will deny the Word of God. There'll be people that deny what God's done for them. That's why it's important. He says, and many shall follow their perilous ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with fiends words make merchandise of you. That's exactly what I was just talking about. There are religions and denominations that keep people in bondage. Listen, you don't have to give. You get to give. I'm not going to stay on top of you. Listen, I don't care if you put $100 back there or $1 million in there. It's not going to make a difference towards your salvation. But you get to give. But there are people that try to teach that, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth, and their damnation slumbereth not. Peter's talking about these people, and they bring it in. Listen, don't do it. I want it to be a conviction for everybody that comes to this church that they use this. But I don't want you to do it because I get up and preach it. I want you to get up because you take the time from this point forward and you study it out. I can give you book after book. I'm going to give you as much material as I can and put it in front of you. I'm going to show you the differences. But I'm telling you, it needs to be a conviction for you. If you get up and you use a King James Bible because I preach it and only because I say it and it's not a conviction, then the next guy comes in here and he preaches and uses something else, you're going to go right along with it. It ought to be so set in your heart that you know this is the Word of God and you're so sure of it that nobody, listen, I've had people call me up and say, listen, you need to watch this video. It shows you. It disproves that your Bible's wrong. And I said, listen, my Bible's not wrong. I believe it. I know that every other thing is wrong, no matter what. That's what's happened in America. This was the only sure. You know why we're having shootings and stuff and everything? This was the only sure foundation. Absolute truth right here. And they took it out. And what's happening now? Why are we having all these mass shootings? Why are we having all this? Because we took the one. I love the Constitution. I'm glad it gives me freedom. But it's because it's founded on a sure foundation, which is this, that cannot be moved. That Constitution can be rewritten. That Constitution can be changed. It may take a few people. It may take 2/3 of the states, but it can be changed. But this Word of God liveth and abideth forever. This thing is the same for 400 years and written and translated out of the Greek manuscripts that for the 1600 years before that were kept and written down and were well preserved. They took care of it. And Peter said that then times will come when false prophets will teach and false teachers will come and tell you, don't believe that. You know, listen, there's no such thing as an NIV only. There's not. There's no such thing as a New King James only. There's no such thing as an NSAB only. There's only King James only people because they believe that it is a sure foundation that no matter what they do, they cannot disprove that. By the way, the person that ends up telling me I need to watch this video because one man says that he's disproved the Bible out of one manuscript. Come to find out, they just found another manuscript even older than that, and it proves once again that the King James Bible was correct. People will try and try everything they can to disprove this Bible. There are contradictions. When people say, man, well, there's contradictions. Absolutely, I agree. There are all kinds of contradictions in those modern Bibles. I'll show you them as we get into this. I'm going to show you what the contradictions are. There's actually one in most of the Bibles where they take a title given to the Lord Jesus Christ and they give it to Satan. So yeah, there's contradictions in there. They take a title of the morning star that's given to the Lord Jesus Christ and they turn around and give it to Satan. But they don't do that in the King James Bible. The King James Bible is the only one that was honest in its translation. Do you know what you find in this King James Bible that you don't find in any other Bible? You find words in italics. Do you know why that is? Because when you translate from one language to another, you have to add words for the sentences to make sense. If you were to translate English into Spanish, most of us in here probably have had a little bit of basic Spanish. When you translate English into Spanish, what do you have to do? You have to sometimes invert the way they say things, and you have to add little laws and different things. The King James Bible is the only one that did that honestly. They're the only one that put that's what those italicized words are. They put them in there to let you know that they put them in there for a complete thought. But they let you know that no, these weren't in the Greek manuscripts or the Hebrew manuscripts or Latin manuscripts, but in those languages, it's an understanding or it's there. But this is the only one, the only translation that did that because they're the only ones that were honest. This King James Bible is the only one that does not have a copyright. Every other version, you know why they copyright it? So they can change it every so. You go back and look at the NIV, if you got one, and see how many times it's been copyrighted. Every time they copyright it, that means they've changed something. This King James Bible that's 400 years. Now, I've talked about it a little bit and told you, I would tell you that I don't remember exact years. There's a brother out here, Brother Walker, down at Brother Shepherd's. Good man of God, he can go into a lot more depth, and I hope that we can get him up here someday. He's got the old Bibles, not replicas of them, but what they used to print, the Geneva Bible and the Tyndale, however you want to say it, Bible, all these different ones. He's got replicas of them. And I mean, some of them, man, they're that big, and that wide. And he said that replica was like $250. I thought, man, that's a pretty good deal for the size of Bible, that thing is. But he can get into all those different things. The King James Bible, we've talked about it before, and I've got one. I should have brought it with me so you could look at it. It has been revised or updated, but nothing has been changed word-wise. It was only the printing errors of the initial printing that have been fixed. And the language, as the English language progressed and fixed, where there wasn't a constant there in 1611 quite yet, that the letter F was an S. I mean, S was an F in 1611. So if you pick one up and you look at the book of Psalms, it's going to have an F there in the middle. And as that changed, they revised it and fixed it and put Psalms as the way that we know it nowadays. All those things. The Word of God, the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that the Word of God would be purified 7 times. Guess how many times this King James Bible went through those purifications? 7 times. Is that you? Oh. Somebody's phone keeps going on. The King James Bible was revised 7 times. To get out all the printing errors. If you've ever, most of us in here went through school, we saw what the old printing press and how they had to do it. You had to used to put one letter at a time. And so printing errors happened when they printed some of the Bibles. And so they, through the years, 7 times, and Brother Walker can go through that. He knows every one of the years that they did those things to get them all out. There were over 5,300 surviving Greek manuscripts at the time when they translated the King James Bible. The Textus Receptus comes from Antioch of Syria, is where it gets traced its heritage through. We know Antioch. Turn with us to Acts chapter number 11. We know Antioch. Everybody here should know what Antioch is, right? It was where the missionaries first were sent out. It's also very known for one other statement about them. Acts chapter 11, verse number 26. And when they had found him, they brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves together, themselves with the church, and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. The Textus Receptus is the name of it. It comes from Antioch, Syria. The two versions that came, that make up the other ones, are called the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus. Both come from Alexander, Egypt. They're called the Alexandrian manuscripts, and they come from Egypt. Let's look at two places here in the Bible and find out what we need to know about Egypt. We've talked about Egypt on Tuesday night, and Egypt was a type of what? The world. Well, let's see what God has to say about Egypt and what we're supposed to do and not do. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 17. Sorry, I didn't say it. Deuteronomy 17. Don't you see what God says about Egypt? Deuteronomy 17. Took me off because we started at 6:30. Deuteronomy, I'm going to look at these probably and give you one more thing about what Tyndale's dying breath said, and then we'll stop for now. Deuteronomy 17, let's look at verse number 14. I wanted to read this. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God... See, we talked about this the other day. I wanted to point this out. This is free. This don't cost you anything extra right here. People always ask about Saul and David and the things and David's wives. Here in Deuteronomy, he answers these questions. See, God was going to allow it. He said, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. I believe God's choice was David, because he said the prophecy there in the book of Genesis, when Jacob or Israel is dying, he said that the tribe of Judah, that the scepter would not depart from his house. And that scepter is symbolic of the king. And so he told him that God had already chosen Judah to be who the priest would come, or who the king lineage would come through, which was David. And Jesus come through the loins of David. That's why Saul was not the rightful king. It was the one that we talked about, because he was heads above everybody else. But he was of the tribe of Benjamin. And so he was not God's chosen man. So he said, whom the Lord thy God shall choose, one from among thy brethren, shall thou set king over thee, that thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. Here's what he saith. Verse 16. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. God told him, you ain't supposed to go back to Egypt for so much as a horse. If we ain't supposed to go back to Egypt for so much as a horse, why in the world would we take our Bible out of that? For as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Here's where I want to point out, because this is, again, this is free, because people always ask, no, God does not put his stamp of approval on a man with multiple wives. Yes, God did bless and use Abraham. God did bless and use Jacob. God blessed and used David and Solomon. But every one of them men, their downfall was women. He said here, neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be that when he sitteth on the throne, this is very important. I want to read this too, because I want you to see this is one of the responsibilities of the king. This is why I believe David was loved. You read the book of Psalms, and a lot of those Psalms written by David, here's why. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest of the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. That's why David was a man after God's own heart, because I believe David took that writing right there very seriously. Even though he messed up with the wives part, I believe David constantly looked and studied. That's what I was going to do before we started, and I forgot. I thought about reading on Sunday nights, because I was thinking about something different to do. I'm thinking I'm going to, unless God changes my mind, I'm going to read one section of Psalm 119 every Sunday night till we get through it, just especially while we was doing this, but I forgot. Turn with me now real quick to Isaiah 31. So we see that he told him not even go down there, not even for so much as a horse. Again, I tell you, the Lord repeats himself because he's trying to, not because he wants to hear himself speak, but he's trying to get us to listen. Isaiah 31. Isaiah 31, verse number 1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses, and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in the horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. And so Isaiah warned them here. He said, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Again, you can study it out. I want you not just to take my word for it. I want it to be a conviction. But as we study, and next week it'll be more moving along from Scripture to Scripture. But God told us not to even go back down to Egypt for horses. He told us not to go back down there looking for help. We ought not be looking for the manuscripts or the Bible text that we're looking for, we'll not be looking for it to come out of Egypt. Antioch, Syria was where God blessed and God used. And that's where the Textus Receptus comes from, the King James. Even the New King James Bible that claims to be just new, that they took the King James Bible and revised it and changed some of the updated language. It's not true. I'll show you why it's not true, and we'll talk about it next week, because they changed things. They did not use the same manuscripts. They did not use the same manuscripts. They once again went back to the corrupt manuscripts to try to do it. I want to tell you what, listen, if you've never looked or never read Fox's Book of Martyrs, Fox's Book of Martyrs is a very important book if you want your heart to beat and desire to stand up for the Word of God. Fox's Book of Martyrs is about the people, the men and women that died through the centuries so that we could have this right here. It has different stories. One of them men was William Tyndale. He translated the Bible. God used him in a mighty way there in Europe in the 1500s. With his dying breath, October 6th, 1536, his dying words when they were burning him at the stake was, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." That was what his dying breath was that God would open the eyes of the King of England. And he got his wish less than 100 years later. God used King James to come to the throne. If you ever get a chance to read the history, there was his mother, King James' mother, was a very wicked woman. And if she wouldn't have died, she would have been a very bloody continuing down that road. But God used King James in a mighty way, and now we have in our day and time. Listen, God used King James to allow them to translate it. That doesn't mean that he was saved necessarily. Doesn't mean that he put his total stamp of approval on it. But there are people in this day and time now that they're calling him a homosexual. They're calling him a sodomite. They're doing everything they can to try to disprove and to get people to stop using this. I want it to be a conviction for you, and we'll show you again. I'll get into it next week. But that was his dying breath, was that God would open the King of England's eyes, that he would allow the Word of God to be printed. We don't realize, listen, America, we are spoiled. We are spoiled that we can go down. I don't know about this one, but I know where we came from. Dollar Trees had a Bible for a dollar, a King James Bible for a dollar. We'd go right down to Dollar Tree and buy one. Dollar General, you could buy one for $5 or $10. Most countries, they don't have that. We take it for granted that we have five or six. Listen, I know I take it for granted. You go back right now to that table where I've been back there studying home, trying to get some things, get everything together. I've got three more Bibles right back there. I do take it for granted, and I want to do that. I tell you, that's why I tell people, read that Fox's Book of Martyrs. It'll open your eyes to realize men and women died. I wish I'd wrote this one down. There was one man, it may have been Tyndale, but I don't think it was. No, it was the Uramus, I think was his name, if I said it correctly. But this man, after he died, a certain church, after he had been dead for 20 years, dug his body back up, performed a trial, then burned his ashes and threw them out on the river because they hated him so much for trying to put a Bible into people's hands. We really take it for granted that we have the Word of God in our hands, that we have a Bible. Even those that, you know, may not have one that I agree with, that I would preach out of, you know, there are people that have never even been able to hold a Bible in their hands. We take that for granted in this country. I truly believe that. We are blessed. When people say, well, I don't feel blessed, or I'm dirt poor. Our people that live in poverty. Now listen, I know that there are some that are worse. There really are. But there are people in this country that live below the poverty level. The average family that lives below poverty has two cars, three televisions, two game systems, and a roof over their head. the average below poverty level home. I'm not saying, I know that there's some a lot worse, but I'm telling you, we take a lot of things for granted in this country. How blessed, how much God has really blessed this country. And we ought to really pray for our country and pray for this town. Listen, pray for this. As we continue on next week, we'll go through and I'll show you different verses and show you that there the difference in them. I just don't want to be too much more long. It's 7:30 now, so but I want to show you, I want to just lay a ground foundation, but next week we're going to go through the scriptures and show you the differences. These are just, these three pages right here are just a small sampling of what they've changed and what's different. This is just what they've changed, not including what they've left out in most modern Bibles. This is just stuff that's changed as far as the wording. Like Daniel, I'll give you this example. Daniel, the book of Daniel, when they walked, and I said this a while back, when the four Hebrew boys were walking around in the fire, it said, I see a fourth like unto the Son of God. Most every modern Bible, the NIV, the ESV, the CBS, the NASB, the RSV, and the ASV all change it into a son of the gods. That was a picture, or actually, I believe that was Lord Jesus Christ himself manifesting himself there in the Old Testament. That's why the King James Bible records it as the son of, I see the fourth like the image of the Son of God. And all these modern versions change it into a son of the gods. What did that do? That attacked the deity of Jesus Christ because it's a little g. But that's just one of the things that they've changed. Our Father, we thank you now for this time and opportunity. I pray, Lord, that you would work in people's hearts now. And I pray that you would be with Gary and Karen, Lord, and all that they're going through. And I pray that the church would see some growth. Help us to see some souls saved and people energized and on fire for the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for how you've put in my heart now and energized me, God. And Lord, I love thy Word. And God, just love you and thank you for all you're doing. Be with us as we continue now with Sunday nights. Tuesday nights, God, and Lord, regular services, God, just I pray that you would move in this town, do great mighty things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.